Well, hello and welcome once again to another broadcast from Battlesite for Christ. Oh, it's a real joy to be with you each Saturday morning at 9 a.m. here on the Just Jesus Radio Network. Well, last week we featured a message entitled, A Fish Out of Water. You may recall that. If not, then I would suggest perhaps you might want to hear part one first, A Fish Out of Water. Today, well, it's still a fish out of water. We haven't got him back into the drink yet. So anyway, but it's part two today, okay? So let's say a word of prayer before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, Almighty God, I give you praise and thanks, Lord. Praise because of who you are, and thanks because of whom I have become because of who you are, Lord. Another sinner saved by grace. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Okay, do you know all you should know about those you do know? Hey, that's a trick question, is it? No, that's why I have to repeat it, okay? Do you know all you should know about those you do know? Now think about that. Do you? Or do you feel maybe sometimes like what the title of the message says, like a fish out of water? Huh? Now, let's make this clear, people. Let's make this clear. God wasn't talking about fish when he said, Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. You see, this is one of the most profound verses in all of Scripture. Have you got that? 2 Corinthians 6:17. Check it out for yourself. Oh, yeah. All right. It is a scripture that has sent many a pastor packing and heading for the proverbial hills, you might say. A fish out of water. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. You know, when the Lord says something, we better listen, huh? Yeah. Touch not the unclean thing. Ooh. Well, it is a scripture that has, like I said, many a pastor packing and heading for the proverbial hills because he cannot accept that, or it's a misinterpretation, or it just doesn't make any sense. Well, take it up with the Lord. That's all I can say. Anyway, I'm going to continue with my message. Whether you're a pastor or whether you're just a freshman or just another sinner like me, saved by grace. This verse cannot be misinterpreted, okay? Its meaning is clear as sunlight. You cannot alter its meaning. God said it. God meant it. God commands it. The great difficulty that arises from this verse is the last five words, and I will receive you, and I will receive you. Well, that just kind of puts a cap on the whole thing, doesn't it? Because if you don't come out from among them and be ye separate, then he will not receive you. And if he does not receive you, then guess what? You're not going to heaven. There's no other way but to believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's that simple. Pretty clear, isn't it? In other words, God is saying to us, if we are to serve him now, then we must become like fish out of water. The water being our sin-cursed environment, of course. Oh. You see, since the devil claimed ownership, and I mean that ownership of this vast ocean we live in, the only way we can escape his evil rule is to head for shore. Head for the shore and come out of our cesspool of sin. The only way. Until that day, God hath appointed unto his Son to come hither and receive us unto himself, which he did at Calvary. We are to hold fast to the clefts in the rocks, not allow ourselves to slip back into the slimy undertow of sin. No. Now, this is where the heartaches begin. This. What exactly is the Lord, or what exactly is it the Lord wants us to come out from among? Well, I touched on it. Well, let's look at just a few lines. What is it that God wants us to come out from among? We know it's sin. Okay? Now, if we are truly saved, if we are truly, truly saved, then the indwelling Holy Spirit, which dwells within all of the saved, the Holy Spirit will show us and guide us and give us the strength until such times as all those old things are passed away. In other words, you lose interest in them. Some people say, oh, I could never give up smoking. No, you can if you lose interest in it. When I was a child, I was smoking. Yes, I hate to admit it, but I was. But I couldn't smoke any time I wanted to because I couldn't afford them. So I'd always get a smoke or a cigarette. Americans, we call them, an old roll-your-own tobacco type. We'd always get them from a friend. Go around the corner so Mom or Dad couldn't see us. Have a few puffs and, I don't know why. Don't ask me to explain it. I don't know why. I just wanted to be one of the guys, I guess. That's but all I can tell you. Oh, yeah. You know, we have to lose interest in such things like that. When we grab onto something else, there's probably, in a lot of cases, not enough room to keep something. You grab something, you let something else go. But when you grab onto the cross of Jesus Christ, you let everything go. You know, you're a new creature. You become a new creature. Oh, yes. No more this hanging out with the ungodly, partaking of their devices, such as gambling and pornography and chasing the opposite or even the same sex nowadays. What's the world become? Now, from the outside looking in, you might think that, well, giving up such a lifestyle is next to impossible. I thought that a long time ago. Before I could say it, I thought, oh, I can't do that. Oh, I can't stop that. Oh, what's wrong with doing that? You know, the old story, right? Oh, that can't be a sin. You know, that's what I thought before I got saved, but not so. Once the Holy Spirit of God indwells you, he also helps you to not only recognize the sin that thus so easily besets you, but also to lose interest in it. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. All things become new. That's what it's all about, people. Salvation. Getting saved is not some quick fix. Although once the faith factor kicks in, you are instantly sealed onto the day of redemption. However, don't forget, as long as you're still in the flesh, that body, that corruptible old flesh will continue to be in error. Continue to be in error. But, here's the good part, but the Holy Spirit of God, which the Holy Spirit of God, which He sends you, will guide you into all righteousness. He will. And because Christ is in you, you're a new creature by way of the cross. That old sinful nature will be revealed. It will be exposed. And in the end, it will be dealt with when Jesus comes to call His church home. That's the finality. Come up hither! Oh, how I yearn for that. Hear that voice. It is then that all flesh, the body, will be changed like unto His glorious body, from corruptible into incorruptible. Wow! And so shall it ever be. Once your body, your incorruptible, or your corruptible, is changed to incorruptible, you're under the blood. I'm not saying you won't sin, because while we're in this flesh, we do get weak from time to time. But, and bear this in mind, if you do sin, I'm not saying you go out and say, hey, I'm saved, so I'm going to go have some fun, I'm going to have a drink, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. That's not what I'm saying. We sin as long as we're in this flesh, because the flesh takes control of us at times, and we need to give ourselves over and over and over again to the cross. I can't do it, Lord. I can't handle it. It's got control of me. No. Once you're a born-again Christian, the sin issue does not have control of you. You are a child of the King. Keep that in mind. You're a child of the King, and nothing can stop you. Nothing can stop you from being in His presence when the time comes. Back to separation. What about sports, you say? How does sports figure in this? Should you join a football or other professional club where there's bound to be evil deeds and lots of blasphemy and cussing? Huh? How about all these sports heroes who profess to be Christians? Are they where God would have them to be? Well, you know what? What I'm finding out as the years go by is a lot of these sports heroes who give their life over to Christ make it known to the public that they're a born-again Christian. It may not always be good for their career, but it'll be good in the ears of God. Okay? All these sports heroes who profess to be Christians. Take a national football player, Tim Tebow, for example. Whenever he scores, he goes down on one knee and gives thanks to God. Did you ever see that? Right there before the fans and the Lord. Goes down on one knee, gives thanks to God. Wow! You think the world likes that thing today? Oh, no. They don't like that type of thing. No. Because the world is going backwards. It's slipping down that slippery slope, you might say. I guess the real question is, will his testimony on the field and before the press be pleasing to God? And how many others are playing for self and team recognition? Huh? How many others Will they sense that their faith has become a stumbling block to their fans? Perhaps if we conclude simply that being a pro athlete is no different than any other job, then surely it will seem all right before God. Or is Tim Tebow a fish out of water? Oh, is he? We must go back to 2 Corinthians 6:17. What does the Word of God say? Now, and remember, it's the Word of God that has the preeminence here. Okay? 2 Corinthians 6. Therefore, whenever you see the word therefore in the Scriptures, you must ask yourself, what is it there for? Therefore, come out from among them. Come out from among them. Among who? Among all that is unclean. Whether it be your football club or your baseball club or your hockey club. If they are all unclean, you don't belong in there. Are all these Christian athletes who stay in these clubs being disobedient to God? Once they know the difference? In 2 Corinthians again it says, and be ye, what? Separate. Separate. How can you be separate if you're with them? You have to go away from them. Separate yourself from them. How can they be separate and still be among them? And look at the rest of the verse. And touch not the unclean thing. And God is not talking about a dirty football either. Or a hockey puck. No. He's talking about those you mingle with. Those you play with. They are not saved. Who have rejected Christ. Who have rejected Christ. They are the unclean thing. Anyone who has not received Christ is still amongst the unclean thing. That's another story. That's another application. That's another sermon. We're not talking about taking a shower. It's a spiritual application. Then look at the very last part of the verse, verse 17. Here's the clincher. Here's the clincher. Listen to this. This one important phrase. And I will receive you. Wow! Have you been received by Christ yet? Have you? Am I mistaken? Or is God saying that unless you come out from among them, then He will not receive you? Huh? Am I? And doesn't the same words apply to all team sports? Where there is blasphemy and unbelief? Even at one's regular job, their daily work, whether it's just digging ditches or counting money, let's take a look at the workplace. When I first got saved, I was working at a car dealership as a salesman. It was a small dealership with only a handful of salespeople. And although I was the only born-again Christian among them, and the fact that their English had to be proper for a business sense, I found no problem. They wouldn't use words against God when they were out trying to sell a vehicle. No, but if they didn't make the sale, the words would start coming forth. I had to feed my family. I had to have a job. And at every job, there's bound to be people who are not saved, who don't even like Christ. Anyway, that is until one day One day the boss, who was really a nice guy from a, you know, from a worldly perspective. Well, he knew I had left the Catholic Church. I guess I mentioned it and it went through the grapevine somewhere. But he happened to be a member of this Catholic Church. You see, I had become a born-again Christian, and Jesus took me out of the Catholic Church. Well, being a new Christian, relatively anyway, I was anxious to hand out tracts and brochures about the need for salvation so others could look forward to heaven as well. I remember that one of the tracts I had left in his office, in my boss's office now, had something to say about a train going to heaven. Well, to make a long story short, he built a case around it and shamed me in front of my peers to the point where I couldn't bear to work among them any longer. I politely told him so, and he gave me a job out back, washing cars instead of selling them. In other words, either you can stay on as long as you're not up here with the men, you're down there washing cars, that's okay, we'll keep you on. Wow. I remember that one of the tracts I left in his office said something about a train going to heaven. Yeah, I had to repeat that. I warned him not to mock the Lord when he belittled me in front of the others. I warned him. But when he got together with the others, they persecuted me as well to no end. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you for my name's sake. They did. They did. Shortly thereafter, while my boss was walking home from work, his heart exploded in his chest and he dropped dead on the sidewalk. I didn't pray for that. It just happened. He wasn't any older than me. He was walking home from work, took a heart attack and dropped dead on the sidewalk. Wow. Guess where he went? You don't want to go there. Soon thereafter, I left that car dealership. I just couldn't stay on any longer. I got a job up the road at another dealership. Washing cars. The news got around. Hey, got around. I knew the sales manager quite well, and when the time was right, I felt the Holy Spirit leading me to give forth the gospel. He pretended to listen, just to be polite. But it seemed obvious the results would not be good. Oh. Several weeks later, just to show me his independence, he up and joined the Masons. I talked to him. He knew I was a Christian. He up and joined the Masons. I loaned him a cassette. I had a cassette about my Christendom, explaining about Freemasonry. Good move or bad move? Well, for me, it was both. It was good because that's what God wanted me to do. It was bad because I was looking at losing another job. Anyway, he returned the track or the cassette with thanks and informed me he would be staying with the Masons. For weeks we prayed for him, but to no avail. He was dead set in his ways, and since that's where many of his friends were gathered, he figured they could all be wrong, or they couldn't all be wrong. No, they couldn't all be wrong. Well, about 3 weeks later, he too, dropped dead from a heart attack. Now, I'm not saying that I'm responsible for this. You figure it out yourself. I can't. I don't have that knowledge. All I know is he denied by Jesus. Anyway, following these two deaths, I concluded that maybe if I had not tried to convert them, they'd both be alive today. Although I couldn't be sure. God said his word would not return to him void. I wonder, since God knew they were going to die soon, that he was using me to direct them to a saving knowledge of the gospel. I wonder, I'd like to think so. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Wow. Ever enter a gay pride parade? If the answer is yes, then why? For support? Supporting gay pride? Ever attend a Santa Claus parade? Why? To show your kids that you believe in Santa so they can also. Whoopee. What about a ball game, a hockey game? Or am I being too legalistic here? Well, if you're sitting in the bleachers where the language can sometimes be pretty blue and liquor is being sloshed about, wouldn't it be better to stay at home and watch it on the telly? Huh? Wouldn't it? I know all these things aren't pleasing to God, and I know, too, that that's why Jesus died for us on the cross, shed his blood to redeem us from the stain of sin. Maybe we should just count our blessings and not be bothered with these people who don't care, or just keep at them. Just put on Christ. That's all you have to do. Once you witness to them and they know where you stand, keep on keeping on for the Lord. And when they look at you, they'll think of Jesus Christ. They may hate him, but they'll think of him. It's true, oil and water do not mix, and neither do the children of God with the children of Belial. Get the message? I'm coming to the end of this one. You know what God expects, do you? Cut and comb your hair and dress appropriately for the occasion and not for the world. Your testimony to the lost, to this lost and dying world, is the way you walk and the way you talk. Be different for Christ's sake. Okay? For Christ's sake. When sheep and goats walk together, it can sometimes be hard to tell them apart. I want to thank you for listening, and I pray you'll tune in again next week, or go to my website, Battlesite for Christ, tillycomes.net. Find a copy of this message there in the list. Until then, may God bless you richly. May you study his word, and may you understand through prayer what he is saying to you and to me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.